You're listening to the So You Can Relate podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the So You Can Relate podcast.
We have another guest today.
Woo! Yes, 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 yes.
This is Kay. Introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
Hi, my name is Kay. Short for Kaide. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. I don't even have a
Kay is like, I feel bad. I have to say it's like publicly because he was the first person that was like, I want to come on your podcast.
Yeah. Number one.
This was back in like February or something. And I said, yeah, you know, it will come.
I definitely just kept on jonesing me anyhow.
I tell you.
And he only arrived in me this morning that he was meant to come and take pictures of us because he's a photographer. But
oh, don't do that.
We forgot that. But you know, you're here now.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Take it. So, tell us about yourself and like your photography and like why do you do it? Why is it important to you?
Okay. So my name's Kaide. And yeah, I take pictures from time to time. Well, sometimes I actually feel like a bit of an imposter when I say I take pictures because I only started taking pictures last year during lockdown.
Okay.
Yeah, so I bought my camera and stuff during lockdown. And it actually started when I went on a holiday with one of my good friends, Alfie. So he went over to Barcelona and he got himself one of these like little film cameras. Mm-hmm. Do you ever remember when you're younger, you used to go to hall parties? And like your parents might pull out one of these disposable cameras.
Yeah, the little Kodaks.
Yeah, yeah, little Kodaks and stuff like that. Yeah. So it started off with one of those. So he had one of those. Mm. And yeah, I just found it fascinating. So I got myself a point and shoot. And
it was a point and shoot. Is that like
so? A point and shoot is like the compact version, like a really small compact version. And I just started off with that. And as time went on, I got myself a bigger one. So I got myself something called an OM1, mm-hmm. OM10, sorry. And that's just basically like a bigger analog camera. And ever since then, I just sort of take pictures from time to time and stuff like that again as well. Now, as you mentioned quite rightly, the first time we were speaking, was because I actually wanted to come and take pictures of you guys.
Yeah, when we
and
were
recording. It's so annoying because even on our way to the station today, I've only just remembered that, oh, damn,
I've got
to bring my camera.
Yeah. To be fair, you can come back another time and take pictures of us because we'll be back here anyways.
You mean that?
I do. I do mean that. Because I actually feel quite bad that I forgot that's the main reason you're actually going to come to take pictures of us.
Yeah.
Because you were doing lots of photography last year. But I think it's not funny, but I think it's mad that you say that you feel like a bit of an imposter. Like you just say you take pictures because your pictures are so, so good.
Oh, thank you.
They are.
You really
have
think
you
so?
Seen them, Joyce?
I actually haven't. Imagine.
Yeah, I'll show you.
What's your Instagram? Let people know your Instagram is.
Yeah.
Oh, so films in the hood. So you know like the movie Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
I just put films in front of it. Films in the hood.
Oh, I love that.
They're really, really good. I'm actually quite surprised that you only started last year.
Yeah, here we go.
They're really good pictures.
Oh,
my
you.
God, it's giving me such nostalgia vibes, like early 2000s.
Are any of your pictures there from your disposable or are they all from your actual camera?
No, so they vary. So on the caption, it says, so if it's an OM10, so that's the big analog one. Mm. If it's the point and shoot, it will say Canon, Short, Telemax and stuff as well. Mm. Yeah.
So why film photography?
Why film? Because I had a nostalgia element.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm a 90s baby. Are we allowed to say that?
So what year were you born? In 98?
Yeah, I'm 98.
Okay, I'm 99.
You can't sit with us. Better. You actually can't.
I've never claimed to be a 90s baby anyway. I spent 6 months in the 90s. You guys had
at least.
Yeah. So. But the thing is, I had older cousins as well. Uh-huh. So so growing up, it was all MTV based. You know what's really cool? Me and Adefilo, we proper get on when it comes to music. I realized. On Instagram, we're always going back and forth. I'm like, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, that's
I think the most recent one was Slum Village, Selfish.
Yes, I love
that one. That's one of my favorites. So I'm in love with that sort of that sort of whole era and stuff like that. Mm. So when it came to sort of taking film pictures, I felt like film pictures and just film photography as a whole just sort of encapsulates that sort of energy, sort of era. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, I just think I've got Nang friends. Like my friends are so cool. Does anyone still say that?
No one says Nang anymore.
I've never heard that word, you know.
You've never heard it?
Nang.
No. It's like cool.
And I'm a London babe and I've never heard it. Nang.
Yeah,
Nang. You born in London as well?
Northwest though.
Northwest?
Yeah.
Northwest.
I think the last time I heard Nang was actually when you said it like a year ago. And I was like, people still say Nang.
What does that mean?
You said it. Me?
You.
Is it? Yes. Oh, so Nang just means Nang just means something that's sick, something that's like proper cool.
Okay.
So if you want to say something's cool, I just say yes, Nang.
Hey.
Nang. But it's true though, because your pictures do make people look very cool.
Do they?
Yeah, I don't know if it's you or if it's the pictures. But
make sure you tell my friends, because they don't tell me this. You know? None of my friends told me this. So make sure. I hope they're listening now.
Yeah,
I'm making you guys look good. Mm. Making you guys look very, very good. So yeah, but most importantly, I didn't have social media before I jumped on socials last year. So in terms of like social media and everything, it's all a bit weird to me. So, and the only reason why I jumped on social media because I wanted to show my friends. Okay. To show my friends and like just share film photography with the world, really.
That's so weird, because literally I remember seeing pictures. So Adefala, you went it was a mutual friend's birthday and you guys took pictures with film. Do you know those pictures I'm talking about?
Recently, yeah.
Oh my god, they were so nice. If you can show Kay, they're literally film pictures.
Instagram?
Yeah, they're on Instagram. So they're what's it called? So she actually got, I think it's an Olympus. You know Olympus?
Oh, yeah.
Those, like, £40 ones that they have now. She got one of those for her birthday, and she even used it yesterday when I saw her. Kay has them. So,
do you know what? Just for that, I'm going to follow now.
She on private, though, so...
Yeah,
do you know her?
No, but she knows me now. And you're listening to this now.
Look, my phone's ringing. Ignore that. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw those.
You saw those?
Yeah, I saw those.
So nice. So like, good. Literally, the melanin was coming through.
Look at that brown.
Yeah.
So she took those pictures on her, do you know what the full name is for it? It's like Olympus something, I think.
So this is the thing, when it comes to film cameras, there's different models. So different models, so they produce different models based on the years. Mm-hmm. So there's some that they don't actually produce anymore. So if you get your hands on it, it's a proper mm-hmm. big deal. Mm-hmm. So I know there's film shops in Camden. The one I go to is in Shoreditch, Brick Lane. And that one, I think that place there.
Is it analog?
Analog Films, yes. Shout out Analog Films. I tag them all the time. Mm. And I think just Shoreditch and film is perfect. But if what you want to do is like take them on like family functions, holidays, mm-hmm. and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. But is there something about it? Like maybe you can explain this. But the thing about film photography that I've seen is like, I guess it's maybe the color grading or just like the film itself. Like what is it? Is it the grain? Is it like the lack of, like what is it that makes that give you nostalgia specifically?
So it's the film. So it's the actual film roll. So these things called film rolls, and that's what you actually put inside the actual camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they'll have numbers on the end of them. So some might be 100, 200, 400. Mm-hmm. So the one I tend to use is Kodak Plus 200. So 200 is I'm not trying to get too technical, but basically 200 is how much grain there is. So the lower the number, the less grain there's going to be. So the higher the number. So say Kodak Portra 400. There's more grain, whereas something like Kodak Color Plus, 200 less grain.
That's funny. So I have this Polaroid that I got when I was 18. My cousin got it for me. It's a Polaroid 600.
Okay.
But it's that big bulky one. Oh, and it's the one that...
Oh, where do you take those to?
I don't take them to many places because it's massive.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw it on my story, but I literally took a couple yesterday when I was with my friends, and it's a Polaroid 600. So now that you say that, I get why the quality is so low. But that's just the way it is.
See, I love those. Those are the best.
This quality is low, but I get it because it's 600.
Okay.
But I like it though.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. It's very nostalgic. That's for sure.
I only get 8 pictures in the film for that.
That big camera, you only get 8.
And it's like £15 for
get
a box.
And shoot.
Yeah, I think I should. I think I need to upgrade it because I'm either disposable cameras or my Polaroid. But my Polaroid, I only take like every once in a while because there's only 8 pictures that I get.
So a point and shoot is basically a disposable camera that you can just use over and over again.
Yeah, okay.
So if you get yourself one of those, so there's a store called Film Camera Store, mm-hmm. online, and you could get, it has like a range of them. You know what, let me...
Yeah. Would you get into film photography, Joyce?
No, I don't think I would. Although I really love and admire what you guys are doing and that you're passionate about it.
Why not?
But I don't know. I just don't think... You know what I enjoy? Do you know when you enjoy something, you enjoy content, but you don't see yourself like going out to do it yourself?
Yeah, I get
that. Do like photography because my dad is really into photography.
Okay.
He always has been. And I think that like photography is like an art form. To be able to capture a moment, I think there's something so poetic about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to overcomplicate it today because literally when I see your page, it's so beautiful. Like there's a picture that he has on his page and it's literally just a cone. But it's telling 1,000 stories.
A cone.
A cone, literally. No, I really do like that aspect of it. Mm. yeah, I just want
to. Oh, the code. Oh, I remember seeing this.
Yeah.
Okay, so a picture like this. Mm. You guys have to go on his Instagram page to see what we're talking about. But why this cone? What made you think I want to take a picture of this? And actually, on that note, after that, show us your favorite ones and give us the story behind them. Or is there nothing? Sometimes no, it's just
see,
like...
See, that's what I'm saying. So with, I feel... That's why I said that. Sometimes I feel like I'm an imposter because there's some people who do photography and behind every single image, there's like a meaning to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'll just look at something and think it looks nice and just capture it. So the reason why I actually got this cone is because I like taking pictures of people. Like, I love portraiture. Mm-hmm. I like taking pictures of people. Yeah. Pictures of people. So a lot of time, unfortunately, when I don't have anyone that I could take pictures of, I'm sort of just left in my surroundings. So I'd like to go and walk. So there's a canal near me and I like to go and walk. And I found like this plant pot by the canal and I just sort of took a picture of it. So it's the caption's in Japanese for anyone who wants to look at it. But yeah,
right.
That's it. And then it'll just be things that I'll sort of... You guys have phones. Why don't you just...
I'm going to be passing it around this whole day.
You're going to make sure you follow me today.
I will.
It's easier this way. See, this is nice. Let me pick one that I like. I like this one. This one of your friends is really nice.
Oh, so Primrose Hill.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Do you ever direct people or do you just like say here's a picture and take a picture of them?
A little bit, not really. Sometimes I'll just be like, oh yeah, stand next to homeboy or stand next to homegirl, like give us a smile, and that's really it. So I really don't try to direct anybody. So how I like to see it is, think about, like, I always try to capture a moment, or I always try to think, okay, what is it I'm going for here? If I'm just trying to capture say maybe like just everyone's vibe or just people having a good time, a lot of the time I don't really direct people. I just want people to be in their element.
Yeah.
And I think capturing them in their element is probably the best thing. Because I don't know, there's just something about capturing people in their natural element that's just so, I don't know, it just feels good because
it's real.
You can look back on it and think that's you in your purest element.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I like candid pictures.
Yeah.
Well, something I tend to do is take candids of people and I send them to them like a day later.
the best is when you save it. So when you take a candid picture of someone, but that's the thing with film. So because I've got to wait to get them developed, a lot of the time when people see themselves, they won't really remember it, or they'll be like, oh wait, that's from this and that. And it's that element that people really love. So sometimes I wouldn't intentionally hold someone's pictures hostage, but I'll try to create a space between when it is I take pictures and when it is I get them developed, just so that when you look back on them, you can look back on them with a different perspective. And I think that's what's really important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that really emphasizes that nostalgia as well. Because it's like, I was nostalgic anyway because it was film. Yeah. When I was 2 months ago.
Exactly.
So now I feel even more nostalgic.
Yeah.
But I do like a sneaky picture of people. Do you use Huji?
Huji?
Yeah.
Huji,
the app.
What's that?
Sorry, as a film photographer, I think you should know about Huji.
don't do that.
No, I'm doing that because look at it. It's literally like a disposable camera.
Oh.
You've seen this, right?
No.
Okay, so if I take a picture of like this right now, it's just going to
add that. Take a picture of me.
Wish you guys could see. It's literally a podcast, so you won't be able to see anything. Like this. It adds like, it's very saturated.
Oh, wow.
It's not necessarily film.
That's fake film.
It's very fake. But yeah. I just thought you would know about it because...
No, why would I know about something? Why would I know something that's fake?
I can't afford actual cameras, but use Huji because it's the best.
I need to download that app. Wow.
No, I've taken some good pictures on Huji. This is when I took a favor yesterday, a candid one, when she was just on her phone.
Okay. Shout out Favor. Favor's the homegirl, man.
Favor's
I saw you. Shout out to you, girl.
This is us at dinner yesterday. It just makes things
look
nice.
I like that. I saw that on your Instagram. So I saw that
yesterday.
Mm.
And for some reason, I just thought it was like a filter on Instagram. I never thought it was like a...
See, that's how good Huji is. It'll make you think I'm a real photographer. I think it's like, you know how you said film has certain elements to it that make it look the way it does. I think Huji is just like that.
Okay.
That's why it looks like a disposable camera when you open it up.
Oh.
But it's a nice way to just get like a different filter on a picture without going through all of that effort.
So see, by the end of today, are we trying to encourage people to go out and get like and take more film pictures?
If they want to. If you feel led to do so, I'm not going to stop you.
Led to, you know.
That wasn't the purpose of the episode. But
I think like literally the way I am, and we've talked about this before on the pod, I'm literally obsessed with memories. So I feel like in that sense, I would enjoy to take pictures. Like, I'm not, I don't really have an eye for it. Like, and it's more, for me, it's more for people. No, I don't have an eye for it like you. It's more taking pictures of people. Like, I don't feel like I would see a plant and be like, oh my gosh, let me take a picture of the plant.
No, but you got to remember, I didn't think that either. It's only because I didn't have,
there
was no one there. So when I'm just going on my walks.
Nobody around.
No one around. Guys, you have to feel like I'm an only child as well. So,
oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm an only child. Oh, so a lot of the time, it's just me and my thoughts. We would just go around parks. You know, just go around taking pictures. So basically, I'll be walking, and my homie, my mind, he'll be like, oh, that's a cool picture, you should take it. I'll be like, I'm gonna take it. So boom, I'll take it, get developed. And I'll be looking at it, I'll be like,
like, that's nice. And I think what I also like about film is like, it takes more effort, you know. Even, for example, obviously, like you said, Huji isn't the same, but even going on a Huji and taking a picture takes longer than taking a picture on my camera.
Right.
Bringing out your Polaroid or bringing out your film camera or your, what do you call it, your, what's that small one you were talking
point
about?
Point and shoot.
Point and shoot. That requires more effort than just taking out your phone and going like that. So there tends to be less of those, unless it's like your profession. There's going to be way less film pictures than there ever are of your digital ones. So you put a bit more care into
it. Yeah.
It's like, this photo was taken with way much more love than any screenshot I could have taken on my phone, you know?
That's true.
And I appreciate that.
Sorry, go on.
That's it.
I was going to say, if you're like me as well, I hate phones. Like, so in uni, I was proper notorious for like, just don't bring a phone around me. But I hate when we're like around, and then someone's first thing is, No, don't do that. So that's why I encourage people to take film pictures. Like my boy Ewan, he takes pictures on film now, and he takes amazing pictures. Like, he went to a Thames concert recently, and he took the most amazing picture of Thames ever. It's called I believe it's called Creativities, and that, yeah, that's it.
Does he take it on disposable as well, or like?
So I'm not entirely sure what he takes them on, but I know it's definitely 35 millimeter. Well, I hope it's 35 millimeter.
What is that? Is that the lens?
So 35 millimeter is the lens. Yeah. So here.
Oh my gosh, it's lovely.
Shout out Thames as well.
I'm obsessed with Thames as well. I absolutely love
it. Oh, you actually?
Yeah.
Thames is a queen. Did you go Whisked?
Oh, yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah. How oh my God, it? I loved it. I haven't even spoken about it on the pod.
These are good.
Let's talk about it.
We need to talk about it. Which day did you go?
I didn't go.
You meant. So let's talk. Like, you were there.
As if you were there for all 3 days.
No, see, I love living vicariously for people. So, my cousin was going, and then as my cousin was on the train, I was training her. We were training together. I said, you see Siri in the corner? And then while she was on the train, I made her sing the lyrics. I said, sing it today. You're going to be prepared.
Practice.
Yeah, you have to live up to the family name today.
Do you know what it was? When I got there, so I went day one. For me, long story short, like, I lost my cousin in the mess of the WizKid. Like, I never found her. So I was distracted, like, trying to look for her the whole night. But aside from that, I feel like it was WizKid. We were all there for WizKid, but it was such a vibe. Like, it was so lovely to see everyone. Like, we've all come for WizKid. We've been excited. Like, obviously lockdown, you know, I feel like for a lot of people, it was the first concert coming back to to big concerts like that. Mm. And it was like, I remember walking in because I had stand-in tickets, and I was just thinking, oh my God, like, it was a vibe.
See, that would scare the hell out of me. I can't.
Really?
Yeah, see, I go gigs, but I go like to the really small, intimate type of gig.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. WizKid at the O2.
It was a lot of people,
and I'll get social anxiety, so sometimes I'll be in certain settings where there's loads of people, my heart be doing boom boom boom.
Oh. Wait, so you haven't been to like a big concert before?
I went with my friends, so I went to see Drake at the O2 back back when I was in sixth form friends, and that was cool. But we were like on the up.
Level 4
on the ceiling.
The ceiling, basically. Like, there was literally just a wall behind us. That's how far up we were. But it's like we had our own little corner, and I enjoyed that. But
that's good.
For example, being in the middle of like just loads of people. No.
The way people, you see, when WizKid started playing his old bangers, people was like, they were electrocuted. Like, people were screaming, and the thing is, like, you didn't even have to know the person to your left and to your right. You were all singing together, vibing together.
Oh, that's
like,
so good.
It was like you knew each other because you're there to see WizKid. Everyone's been excited for months.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that aspect of it was really, really good.
A lot of somebodies were at WizKids as well. Like a lot of like famous people and stuff.
So it's like everybody was there.
I saw Stormzy there singing his heart out. I said, oh, bless him. Look at him. Like, Chunk, have you seen that video of Chunk? So recording Thames.
Yeah.
And then he's probably going for it. I said, oh, look at him.
It's nice to have that artist that everybody basically loves. Like, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, I don't like WizKid.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And maybe you guys.
Who else do you think is like that? That artist that everyone, you can't say Michael Jackson.
No. I wouldn't have said that anyway.
But that artist that everyone, like, actually, you know, even better, that artist now that you think the next 10 decades, next 10 years, sorry, mm-hmm. someone will be like, oh, yeah, that's the person.
I think Adele.
Adele.
I feel like she's already at that level now.
Are you saying that as in 10 years' time, they're going to be like, oh, that's a good question.
Mm.
Maybe I'm biased. Okay, no, I think I'm biased if I say that.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say Anderson .Paak. I think he's really good because he's an amazing performer.
Yeah.
And I think his most recent collaboration with Bruno Mars gave him even more fame. But I know that their sound is still quite distinctive. Mm. Like I met somebody who like a few weeks ago, he was like, he doesn't like Anderson .Paak. And I was like,
really?
I can like him. But he's not like, he's good at, he's popular in his like own circle.
Yeah.
To be notorious, still in that circle in 10 years' time. But he's not like Beyonce, but he's still a very good performer. You know,
I think similar to Anderson .Paak, I'm gonna say Sam Henshaw. Now, Sam Henshaw is like one of my
Sam Henshaw.
Do you?
Yeah,
he's like one of my favorite artists ever.
Yeah,
and
is it so bad that I have no clue who that is?
I think you'll like him, Joyce.
I think you'd probably like him.
I'll send some of his songs. Okay. Yeah.
Like I think he's a proper cool guy, proper down to earth, and he makes that feel good music.
Yeah,
the sound of his voice.
Yeah, he's got that raspiness to it as well. Oh,
and that's what I proper love. UK artist too.
Yeah,
okay, love that.
I think you know what? He actually came from the church as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. He came, his father's in ministry. His parents are in ministry as well.
Yeah.
And you could tell because a lot of the time when he releases his songs, it's according to, I gotta say, do you know periods in the year where everyone's mood is generally low? Like, for example, towards the end of summer.
Mm.
Like, towards the end of summer, he'll drop like a proper feel good upbeat tune and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, even these concerts, like, I'm gonna take you to a Sam Henshaw concert.
Yeah, no, I need to check this guy out because you lot are really.
No, he's proper good. He's like proper good.
Yeah.
I did see him a bit when I was younger, like a kid, because he's my mum's closest friend, like her best friend.
Really?
Yeah. So
Sam Henshaw.
She's like his nephew. Yeah.
No way. Wow,
okay. Yeah. So like we weren't like besties or like hanging out.
I remember you saying this in TRF one time.
Was it in TRF?
Yeah, it was in TRF.
Oh yeah, that first time you came. Yeah. I remember that day. That's the first time.
Yeah, you remember that day?
Yeah, I do. Because I was showing you all those songs that I like. We were like, oh my god, we have the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that the first day you guys met?
I think so,
yeah. Oh, okay. But I wish I was there when you put your wedding playlist.
Oh, well, I just have to bring this up. Oh, you can let it go. It's just Afrobeat.
I wish I was there for that day.
I didn't play it. People just saw that I had a playlist called My Wedding. Okay.
That wasn't just Afrobeat. It had.
Yeah, there was.
Really?
There were some first dance songs.
Oh, you ate in your bag.
I had to change it to Wedding Party because I've just been dragged so many times for that.
Have you still got it?
I have still got it.
Hey.
It's mostly Afrobeat.
I'm glad people didn't shame you into deleting it.
No, I would never delete that. There's too many good songs there. What are we talking about?
You were saying how you knew Sam
Henshaw.
I don't want to be like, I knew him because like, but I did like, you know, we just like bring a bunch of kids together and you all hang out and stuff.
Yeah.
And we were kids and stuff like
so
that.
So is he like our age?
He's a few years older than us.
I think he's still under 30 though. He's still definitely under 30. But I remember when you mentioned you knew Sam Henshaw. I was like, oh my God, you know Sam Henshaw.
Like, yeah, I met him, but I haven't like seen him in years and years.
Do you know what? He's got a show in February. Should we all go?
That sounds shitty now. I need to start revising his music.
You know what
I think
people should start doing? Like going to concerts of
live
artists.
Gigs.
Yeah, going to live gigs, but also going to live gigs of artists that don't even know that well, just to like experience it. Because I really appreciate when you can see somebody enjoying a song that you don't know and you want to be a part of that.
Okay. Yeah.
But sometimes you got to remember financially, it's a lot to commit to someone that you've never heard.
I mean, it's once in a while.
That's for rich people, you know?
But luckily, somebody like him, like his ticket. It's probably won't be like, oh, no, like ticket, £30 or something like that.
Fair enough.
Now we should probably go.
We should. I'll be down for that.
Do you remember that one I sent to you? Actually, this Lauryn Hill gospel rendition show. Yeah. Next year. I said, what?
Was that a jazz cafe?
I don't think it's a jazz cafe. I think it's somewhere else. But
wait, so I don't get it. Are they just going to be?
It's basically like a choir.
I heard Lauryn Hill. I said I'll be there. But
it's like a choir, like a gospel choir that are going to like doing gospel renditions of Lauryn Hill songs. Okay. And they've got another one for Justin Timberlake too.
Oh.
So my aunt used to take me to the jazz cafe when I was younger with my cousin.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, so jazz cafe used to hold these like sort of Pan-African Saturday / Sunday school thingies.
Did you go to those?
I went to those. But I didn't. Yeah, so my auntie brought me to those.
Mm.
But while I was in uni, I went to them a lot as well, but it wasn't until recently when I was like, where did I come across Jazz Cav? Because I feel Jazz Cav, if you're popping into your live gigs and stuff, you're again into jazz especially, you've known about Jazz Cav for a long time. So recently I was just like, where have I come across Jazz Cav before? Then I remembered my aunt used to take me and my cousin there when we were younger. And then again, it's in Camden, Amy Winehouse. Amy has my heart. Amy has my heart, man.
What's your favorite Amy song?
Love is Blind.
I love Love is Blind.
Do you?
Yes.
No, not many people know that song, you know.
I love that song.
That is my song.
That song. It's very, she's very, what's the word? She's very cheeky in that song.
But I just
she's
feel
very
that,
cheeky.
I feel that just encapsulates Amy's character. Like, that's who she was. You watched the Amy documentaries as well?
I haven't actually. So they make me sad.
It's just sad. It's a sad story.
I know there's a lot to be celebrated, of course, but most of these documentaries do focus on her hardship, and I just don't like seeing it.
Don't get twisted. Her family are chopping off that hardship.
As in someone that's dead. You're making documentaries. Where's the money going?
No, the money will go to her family, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Obviously, she's not seeing that.
But then again,
money.
If you have like a child and everyone's enjoying, I mean, I guess you could call it a bit cynical, but if you have a child and everyone's like just sort of profiting, especially the tabloids made a lot of money over her distress and stuff. The fact that the family are able to sort of almost create a documentary that everyone's able to enjoy and they're able to eat off that. That's good on them, man.
Yeah, I guess I just think of those situations where like celebrities' families aren't the best and they just kind of profit in someone's, But I don't know what her family's like, obviously, so I hope they
I remember during when they were sort of doing the documentary, so her dad was a cabbie. Right, and now cab drivers have this thing of being very sort of chatty. Have you ever been in a black cab before?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you notice, but when you went in your black cab, you probably noticed, oh, they might not have, but the cab driver would be really chatty, really out of there, really. So he basically carried that to the media. But then again, you have to remember, the media had an agenda against Amy Winehouse because I think she was proper going through it at the time again as well. And the fact that he was so chatty, he was literally just giving them stories about her. But in his defense, he was doing it to protect his daughter. And he generally was. But however, I think he just didn't know how sort of the media were at the time.
Do you have a favorite Amy Winehouse song?
No, you know, I just know the classics, like the ones that everyone else knows. Yeah. But yeah, Amy's never someone I've really actually taken time to.
Really? I've got her on vinyl, you know.
So you collect vinyls too, don't
you? Yeah, I collect vinyls. So if you go on my...
You're just so cool. Oh my gosh.
High five, man. I appreciate that. So if you go on my Instagram, I've got like a brown love heart and on like my highlights, and it's got all the vinyls that I've been collecting so far. So I've got Anita Baker.
I was going to say that. Ooh. I saw you have Anita Baker. Oh, come on. Do you have What's Going On? Oh, you do.
Girl, you don't start right now.
Come on. You have to have What's Going On.
Yeah, I've got Marvin Gaye. I've got Barry White. I've got Etta James.
Oh, wow.
Who else have I? You know what? We'd proper get on, you know. Especially when it comes to vinyls. Like,
the thing is, guys, I've actually met Kay twice in my life. I've only actually met you in real life once or twice.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool when you have like a musical connection with somebody. And I really, really want a vinyl as well. Like a good one as well.
What, like a vinyl player?
Yeah, vinyl
player. So my friends got me some while I was at uni, right? However, bless them. It's not like the sound is good. However, it scratches a lot.
Okay.
So I remember for my birthday, they got me this vinyl player. And every now and then I'll pull it out. But what's really cool is that my mum's, so obviously I'm Nigerian, right? So there's I listen to a lot of the old school Nigerian guys. So Ebenezer Obey.
You know Ebenezer Obey?
What?
Oh my God.
That man must come and sing at my wedding.
My mum loves Ebenezer Obey. Yeah.
So basically, so for anyone who doesn't know who Ebenezer Obey is, so Ebenezer Obey does, do you know High Life? Like Ghanaian High Life music. Yeah. He does Ghanaian High Life music, but he does like love songs. Okay. So a lot of people like my parents and Adefela's parents.
Thank you.
So they would have like they're sort of like, who's our love song person now, basically? But anyway, whoever that is now, for them it's Ebenezer Obey. And he like, he'll see like his music, he probably serenades you like on his album. He's on of his album cover, he's got him next to a horse.
Oh yeah, that album cover. Oh my goodness.
It's the most random thing ever. When you listen to the album and stuff like that, you get it because it's about how he's getting a horse, he's gonna ride to his girlfriend.
It's called The Horse, The Man and His Son or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
The next album cover. Yeah.
So I love that. I love Fela Kuti as well. So who is it? So like Ebenezer Obey, Fela Kuti. I definitely, you know what I do.
What?
I'm probably gonna bait myself up here, yeah? But basically, so my mum, yeah, she's obsessed with watching like these videos on YouTube of like people's celebrations and stuff like that. So every Sunday there's this channel called Ben TV, yeah.
Oh my god, Ben TV.
And there used to be this show called Events, innit?
Wait, is that channel still on to this day?
Is it?
I haven't seen it in years. I remember from my childhood that channel though.
But, yeah, so there used to be this channel called Events, right?
Okay.
And then it basically be people like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I remember they literally just like put people's events on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like some person's 50th birthday, exactly. You could just watch it on TV.
But now, yeah. Like there's an even bigger version on YouTube where there's this guy called Wasil, right? Mm-hmm. Ainde Wasil. And he's like, how can I describe Ainde Wasil to like someone who's never heard of him before? He's basically a rock star. Again, for our parents' generation, he's like a rock star. Mm. So I'll be watching videos of him performing at people's weddings, birthday ceremonies and stuff like that. And I'm looking at him thinking, if you see the wads of cash they give him.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They take spraying to a whole new level. Like, he'll be performing, right? Mm. And then someone come and give him like a whole wad of cash. So recently, this actress called Eniola Badmus, right?
Okay.
And she was celebrating 20 years on stage. And they got Davido to perform. However, Wasil was also there as well.
Yeah.
And Davido gave him like 2 million.
Naira.
Naira.
Whoa,
so 2 million goodness. Naira in pounds. That's, what's that?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably something much lower. It's 2 million something.
It's a lot of money basically. Right, right. And he basically just gave it to him. But that's basically like in a recognition of him. Okay. Sort of like him being like almost the king of Fuji music and stuff like that as well. So yeah.
Do you have a favorite Fela Kuti song?
Yeah. Teacher, don't teach me nonsense.
I actually don't know that one.
What?
Yeah, I don't.
Teacher,
I listen to it. My favorite is Trouble Sleep, Younger Girl Wake Up. I love that song. And I like the intro as well.
Oh, we can't even play it, can we?
We can't play it. You have to listen to it if you want to. But like the intro, he's got like 12 minute intros to his songs, just instrumentals.
Yes.
And
yes.
The rest is just like him singing and stuff. But I do like that.
The reason why I like Teacher, Don't Teach Me Nonsense, especially, is because. So for a lot of people, have you heard about Fela Kuti's mum?
Yeah.
Fela Kuti's mum was a legend.
Oh, wow.
So you've got Fela Kuti, right? And Fela Kuti was this guy who sort of spoke against the establishment, right? And he was discarded a lot because of his lifestyle and the life he chose to lead. So when he's got this song called Teacher, Don't Teach Me Nonsense. And that's basically him saying, putting up a middle finger to the establishment.
Right.
So especially during the 60s, which is when Nigeria gained its independence, and so, around when Nigeria got its independence, there were a lot of people, especially the natives of the land. So at this point, Biafra just happened, the UK Empire come and they've done what they've done. Uh-huh. And he was basically saying, teacher, don't teach me nonsense, in a sense where don't let these people come to our land and basically attempt to rewrite our history. So
okay, wow.
But again, the percussion on there, the musical instruments, like the thingy, like
everything
about Fela Kuti, I look at it, I'm like,
it's inspiring,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
It's really cool. I sometimes try to think that if there's somebody similar to that in our generation,
Koji Radical.
Yeah, somebody like that makes a lot more sense than someone like Burna Boy. Now, I love Burna Boy.
Burna
Boy thinks
I love Burna, come on.
I love him too.
You see my next days, I'm like,
I can see you, you know, so fancy you.
Me too, I love Burna Boy, but he thinks he's fella and he's not.
Yeah,
actually not liberating anybody.
First of all, any Burna Boy slander is not happening to
me. I'm just saying politically, he's not fella Kuti. That's all I'm saying.
No, but do you know, when he got that second Grammy, I think that's what made me think, all right, yeah, you've gone now. You're not that person. You're not that person. So who is that person in terms of Afrobeats?
That's what I'm asking you. I don't know. There probably are some that aren't, like, just not that popular that we didn't know about.
Ghanaians will say King Promise.
King Promise.
I like King Promise. I don't know. Maybe you have to be like more in the actual, maybe you need to have like a first-hand experience of the political scene in Africa to know who's making music based on that experience.
Okay.
Do you feel like people equate like commercial success with you not being really real anymore, or you not being like about the people?
Well, let's be real. In order for you to attain some level of commercial success, you have to give up. There's a certain element of you which you have to give up. Mm-hmm. And it could be either you being genuine, it could be your sort of, I don't know, sort of that emotional side. But I genuinely do think that if you want to attain a certain level of commercial success, 100%. I mean, I hate to be cynical and use the word sell your soul. I don't really believe in the whole sell your soul thing. But I do think there are sacrifices that one has to make in order to sort of attain that level of, that level of what do you call it, success. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And when I think of it from like a perspective of someone who's really, really successful that attempts that kind of liberation for the people, or like being outspoken. I think of like Beyonce, for example.
Beyonce?
Yeah, you know, let me finish. So like back in the day, she wasn't doing Wakanda Forever. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
But her position now, she's doing it / attempting it, but it just doesn't feel right.
I was going to say that.
Just how commercialized she is.
Yeah, and again, this is me. So whenever I look at things, right, I always lead with cynicism. Mm. And I always, so when I saw Beyonce doing all of that, I was thinking, Beyonce, Africa's been there for ages.
Exactly.
And you've been Beyonce for ages, and it's only now. Only right. Even people give Madonna a lot of stick, you know, for adopting those babies.
Madonna. Do you remember the one that was dancing during lockdown?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Lord have mercy.
No, but yeah, I don't know. When I saw she was recording this whole album and stuff like that, I was just like, okay. It's just hard to look at and think, yeah, you're doing this because you love Africa all of a sudden. Because you know those people who wake up one day and are on this, we got to go back to Africa,
guys. Yeah, oh my God, yeah. I got a home in Ghana, you know, I'm, oh my gosh.
We was kings.
We were kings. I'm just like, stop it, guys.
I know, man. It's crazy.
I think something I noticed about Beyonce, I'm no pop culture professional, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think she, what's the word? She slides into trends with like a snake. It's so subtle. You don't even realize that she's just following a trend.
Mm.
I don't know if there's many trends that she's created.
And I think she creates them, you know. One thing I give Beyonce is how she's able, like very similar to people like Adele, like Rihanna. They're very good at, again, capturing a moment.
Yeah, so that is a to the ground about what's about to be popular. Like, you know, right. Remember 7-Eleven? That's when trap music was really getting, and she made 7-Eleven and, you know, it just rocket shooted. Or what's it called? Black is King, Lion King, whatever, all of those stuff there. That's luckily just before this BLM stuff. Like, she knows what's about to go crazy, and then she makes an album. And it's just relevant suddenly. Her music is so relevant. But it's interesting seeing her most recent stuff with the Tiffany Diamond. I don't know if you guys know about that.
No, what's that?
Okay, so I'm not really good at explaining it, but you know Blood Diamonds. So,
quickly, I just had to interject there. My whole like master degree, my master's like thesis and stuff is on Blood Diamonds.
What did you study?
So I studied globalization and development.
Okay.
So my question is, like, brace yourselves, is how petroleum diamond-led development impacts a transitional state's governance, a case of Angola between 1960 and 1997. Mm. So Angola is basically rich for having like loads of resources in terms of petroleum and diamond. However, they've seen like a lot of economic downturn since, I believe, early 1900s.
Mm.
Early 1900s, like early 1960s. And so they happen to be impacted by something called a resource curse, which is where countries that are rich in resources and face some sort of conflict. So it's very interesting how you sort of bring up, how we sort of refer back to people like Beyonce and stuff like that, and how they're able to sort of catch on, just latch on to these things that are just a very hot trending topic, and then able to sort of almost profit from it.
Yeah, and the thing about this one is like the way she profited, it didn't, what's the word? It didn't bang this time. Like, sometimes it does. Sometimes you have people saying, well, at least she's shining a light on Africa, while you have a few people saying, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But the Tiffany diamond, that diamond is a blood diamond from South Africa from a very, very long time ago. And the only people that had worn that diamond were white people, obviously.
Mm.
So now with Beyonce and Jay-Z, I might show you guys a picture. It's like she's wearing like a black dress with like a V at the back. And the it's like a yellow diamond and like a silver chain or whatever. And it's a beautiful diamond, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that diamond was notoriously worn by white people. And it was a blood diamond.
Oh,
and everybody
really?
Was like, Beyonce, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's a blood diamond right there. But you're celebrating the fact she's the first black person to wear Tiffany, whatever. Yeah. And Tiffany, people saying Tiffany and Co. just want us to like eat up this whole thing about first black to do this, first black to do that. Oh my God, it's Beyonce, blah, 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 blah.
But if your husband buys you a diamond ring for your engagement, you're going to wear it, right?
Oh, all diamonds, blood diamonds. I hope it's not a blood diamond.
So this movie, right? I don't know if you've seen it. It's on Netflix, called Blood Diamonds. And it's with, I forgot his name. I'm going to get his name now. It's with Leonardo. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio in it. as well.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, I think I know the film you're talking about.
And it's based has it got
like an accent in the
yes. Hold on, Blood Diamond.
It's called Blood Diamond.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the actor.
Oh, okay.
That's a shame.
No Wi-Fi.
Right.
Well, anyway, it's got Leonardo DiCaprio in it, and it's basically set in Freetown, Sierra Leone, mm-hmm. and it's about how they've got child soldiers and they basically make people sort of search the seas and stuff for blood diamonds and stuff like that as well. It's really interesting. So, guys, if you ever get a second, or if you ever have, like, it's really long though. That's the thing.
How long is it? It's like 3 hours.
Close to 3 hours. I remember it being just over 2 hours. So I watched it in parts, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, by the end of it, I was like, this is really interesting. But it invigorated me even more because my dissertation was on something similar.
Yeah.
Again as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But yeah, I think anyone who's really interested in stuff like diamonds and sort of like the resource quest, especially, mm-hmm. watch Blood Diamonds 100%.
Are you still doing a disso right now?
How's that going for you?
It's long. It's really long. It's a lot of reading. So obviously, I realized that obviously, like writing a dissertation is going to be a lot of reading. Mm-hmm. However, I feel when you're doing a master's, one thing you know, especially with journalism, is that you no longer read text like the average person. There's a certain analytical prowess that you need in order to sort of dissect a text, mm-hmm. tear it apart, really sort of find out what it means, and stuff like that. And I think it's doing that constantly, or reminding myself to do that constantly, it's proper long. Oh, it's proper long, yeah.
How many words is it?
So my dissertation is 10,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 10,000 words. So some of my friends who sort of recently graduated, they've just got their master's results. Congratulations, guys. They've just got their results again as well. And a lot of them are just happy it's over. So
yeah.
I've got one friend, he actually went to the University of Amsterdam to study international relations. And anyone who's like familiar with international relations and University of Amsterdam knows that University of Amsterdam is like the one. Studying international relations, University of Amsterdam is like number one in the world.
Oh, wow.
So the fact that he graduated from there, especially the fact he's from ENDS again as well, I had to give it to him, man. So, well done, Hamza.
This one's for you. I think your topic is very interesting, though.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I really like the dissertations done by like Black Brits that point back to our heritage. It's just so important.
It's very important. Do you think there are a lot of people who are sort of still reminded of their culture? Or
in what sense? Like by the world, by their parents?
Yeah, so I thank myself because it's only as of recently I've decided to sort of, you know, start to have certain conversations with my mum in terms of like, so during the summer I started reading on the Biafra War. Mm-hmm. So I think your parents might be able to tell you about the Biafra War in parts and stuff like that. Yeah. So I started reading about the Biafra War and there was this lady called Rose Umelo, and she was a teacher. She was born in Islington, actually. She grew up in Islington. And she married this man called John Umelo, who was a native Biafran. Mm-hmm. And they went over to Nigeria. And while she was teaching in Nigeria, the war breaks out. So the book basically details her journey during that whole era and stuff like that. Right. And one thing you have to give our parents a lot of recognition, not only to our parents, but people like Rose Umelo, is that they went through it, man.
They really went through.
So that's why a lot of time there's a lot of grace I have when speaking to sort of people like that. So I recently met with, I believe he would be my great uncle, so my grandmother's brother.
Okay.
And he came from Nigeria to here in the early 60s. Now, early 60s, that's when Biafra broke out. So he came during the war.
Yeah.
And speaking to him, he's 87 now, but in terms of his memory and what he remembers from that time, especially again as well, is very sharp.
I don't see how you'd forget anything like that anyways.
Yeah.
That's sick. Have you read Half of a Yellow Sun?
Yeah, I've read that. That's literally how I found out about the Biafran War.
Yeah, that's how I found out about it too.
Is it? Tell me, what is
Half it's by Chimamanda.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember the plot though, I'll be honest, because I read it like when I was in year 11.
It was basically about like this couple in love, and it's just telling the story of what happened. Half of a Yellow Sun.
And there's a film for it too.
Yeah, there is. I have. But what can I say? But yeah, it tells the story like through the eyes of this like young couple kind of just, you know, starting up their life and like all that surrounds their personal life and what's going on in the country. So yeah, it's really interesting. And the movie's good as well. So if you don't want to read the book.
Yeah.
It's really good there.
I do like, I really appreciate art that is set with like a historical backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
because it really intrigues you. It's like, it's a nice soft instruction to history. Sometimes you don't just want to open a book and read, you know, sometimes you want a story around it, even if the story around it is fictional. And that's what gets you into certain like histories and like makes you more curious.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. Because that's literally the first time I heard about it myself.
So. Yeah, yeah.
So half of Yellow Santa, I'm actually going to read up on that. So
you should read
I've got it up. So I just literally tapped it in now. Mm-hmm. It's this one, right? Hold on. This one.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I'm actually going to read. So it's going to be
Ephraim War. Yeah, yeah. It's like that's the war is the backdrop of the film and a lot of, sorry, the book, and a lot of what they go through is as a result of what's happening.
Okay, and she's Ebo, right?
Yeah, she's Ebo.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, I just found, I watched an interview of hers and found out that she made up her name. Chimamanda's a name she made up.
That is sick.
Yeah,
really?
Basically she wanted to change her name to Amanda, but she wanted it to have like an Igbo feel to it. Okay. So she just added Chimamanda.
You see, and I don't even hear Amanda in that. I just hear a Nigerian same. Name.
What's Chima? So what's her name? Chima Amanda?
No, Chim Chimamanda. Amanda. I think Chim is maybe an Igbo prefix.
Yeah.
So she put that in front of her, in front of Amanda.
Chimamanda. I thought that was really cool. Like she just built up her own identity.
If you guys could pick a name that you would be called aside from the name that you have, what would it be?
A South African name.
No, pick a name aside from the name that you have.
Oh.
Or do you just like your name too much?
You know what? When I was younger, I was obsessed with the name Lisa. Like I wished I was called Lisa. I don't know, randomly, like for years, I just feel like I'd be adding it in. People are like, oh, what's your name? Oh, yeah, Lisa, you know? Really strange.
The most basic
but
name.
Now, obviously, I don't love the name anymore. So weird. I don't know. I don't love my name either. Do you guys like your names, by the way?
I do. I love my name.
My first name, I should say.
I love when people say my name.
I used to say Adefila's name wrong for years.
Did you?
Yes.
How are you saying my name?
I used to say, so it's Adefila. I feel like I'm saying it wrong now.
So. I don't even say it right.
For some reason, every time I'm thinking name, I just think Adefila.
People always say that to me. Adefila. Because of my Instagram handle. But and I'm aware that I don't even say my name correctly.
So how are you supposed to say it?
Adefila.
Adefila.
Adefila, yeah.
We should start forcing people to say our names properly. Like. Yeah.
But I always feel like I have to slow down.
Yeah.
Like, I respect my name so much, but it's just like the slowing down of the name and the making sure people get the tones. There's like three accents on my name when I say it correctly. Wow. So if I say to people, my name is Adefila, it's like, it just doesn't flow off my tongue as easy as saying
Adefila. So when you write your name, do you add all the accents and stuff?
No, I don't. Because people won't know what to do with it. I'll say Adefila anyways. So it's like, what's the point?
Throughout school, everyone called me Coyote. That's how everyone called me, so Coyote. Yeah. However, the reason why I was never fussed about it was because I knew when I went home, my mom was always, or whoever I was staying with, they were always going to call me by my correct name. Mm-hmm. So that's why for my mom's side of the family, they find it very funny when people call me Coyote because they're like,
come on, is that your name?
Is that your name?
Yeah.
However, I think going back to your question, I quite like my middle name, Isaac.
Isaac.
Nice.
Yeah. That's
Isaac.
My cousin's name.
Is it?
Yeah, I love Bible names as well.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
What's really interesting is that I recently reconnected with my cousin back home in Nigeria, right? Mm-hmm. And they all call me by my other middle name, which is Fisayo.
Did they give you that name?
So this is the thing. So in Nigerian culture, Joyce, right? Mm-hmm. You get names. So everyone's name is very long. However, when it now somehow goes onto your birth certificate, it's a shortened version.
Okay.
So what will happen is that your grandparents will give you a name on both sides, and as well as your birth parents.
Mm.
So the name Fisayo was a name given to me by my grandmother, but on my dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
So when I recently got into contact with my cousin, they were like, "Oh my gosh, it's Fisayo," and I was like, "Wow." Yeah. No one ever calls me that, especially on my mom's side, because that's not the name they gave me. So yeah, I think just speaking to him as well and just realizing the different lifestyles we choose to lead, especially being someone that's from here in London and him being in Nigeria. It was very interesting just sort of reconnecting and just seeing how it is we relate to each other. So thank God I can't speak Yoruba, however I can speak Pidgin English. So we connected so we connected in Pidgin straight away, and as we were just going back and forth, I was just like, oh, it's me.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at him and was like, oh, it's me. And yeah, man, it's proper nice. So hopefully next year I'll go to Nigeria, link up with them. And yeah, man, have a good time, I guess.
It's nice to like reconnect to family and just see like that extended side of your family. It's nice to have a chance to appreciate them.
100%.
You know, outside of like your parents and siblings or whatever.
But I think it's even better when you reconnect as you're older. So, I mean, have you guys recently linked up with, or you have?
Yeah. So I try to go back every year. And I feel like
that's proper good. Some people haven't been back home in years.
I know. I started doing that from like when I turned 17, and it literally gave me like a new perspective on life. Like I just thought, oh, I'm just going to spend time with my family. Yeah. But to like to be immersed in my culture, yeah, it kind of awakened me to this other sense of identity that I just didn't really think I needed or was bothered about, kind
Kampala.
Of thing. Yeah, Kampala. Yeah. But I'm actually originally from Western Uganda.
Okay.
So yeah, my tribe, I'm a Mnyankole. Oh my God, that's a mouthful.
I just love Mandazi.
But my mom is from Central, so yeah, she's from Kampala. Yeah, yeah.
I love Mandazi.
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah. So I've got this story about Mandazi, right? Mm-hmm. So the time we were in uni, and then my friend, he just came back from home. And he had this big brown greasy bag. And he was like, oh, okay, like, I want you to have one. I said, I looked at him, I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, okay, please, like, my mum made this. It would mean a lot if you
can't say no, can you?
I couldn't say no.
He said it would mean a lot.
I tried it.
What is it?
It's basically like Puff Puff. Puff Puff. Okay.
But it's like, it's sweet, but it's a lot sweeter than Puff Puff. Mm. Okay. It is beautiful. Absolutely phenomenal.
I want that. I want to try more African cuisines.
Me too. Like I want to try Congolese food. I was planning to go. Oh, you're not feeling it.
Is that a no?
There's one time I tried Ethiopian. Oh, no,
I mean, that's just one cuisine though. That's just one. Yeah, there's so many that you can try.
It is. Like I've tried Nigerian food, some Nigerian. I want to try more like the soups that you guys have, like the proper conk Nigerian food. Because, you know, jollof rice.
Wait, hold on. Did you just say conk Nigerian?
Conk Nigerian food, yeah. The ones that they eat back home in the village, those type of foods. Not jay rice and chicken.
You know, my mum went to Nigeria a couple months ago and she bought a pound of jam maker.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just bring out the mortar and
who has time? She's not going to be in the kitchen doing all that pounding.
And you know when you see people's hands and then they move their hand, I'm just thinking if they pound your hand, you're actually done for.
She made it with actual yam.
Really?
Yeah, so you boil actual yam and you put it in the pounding jam maker and it actually just turns and makes pounding
jam. That's a new Western type thing, because back home, the way they used to make it is that they'd have something called a mortar, a long sort of stick like this, and they'd literally pound the jam. Have you seen
them doing it in real life?
Yes, I have.
It's amazing, isn't it?
But that's why I really want to go back home again as well, because I actually want to see them, because I'm not going to say, I love pounding jam. Mm. Listen, pounding jam, Banku, I know it's not the same. Banijam, Banku.
Do they eat Amala. Banku in Nigeria as well?
So there's a lot of Ghanaians in Nigeria.
Oh, so that influences.
Yeah, yeah, so it's influencing a lot of like the culture and a lot of the food and stuff like that as well. But I probably want to try Banku. I've never tried it before.
I haven't tried it either.
But what's really interesting is that there's something called Amala. Oh. And Amala, do you like it?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
I don't like too much. I don't hate it, but I'm not going to go for Amala over Banijam.
Okay. Oh really? Okay, no. Fair enough. So all pounded jam, amala is it's made from the discarded skin of the pounded jam.
Okay.
So they sort of, I don't know how they're able to do it, but they basically make it into this brown goodness, and they have it.
Goodness. I guess
they make it into this brown ball of goodness, and then you sort of have it with something called begiri.
Do you like begiri?
I love it.
What exactly is that?
So it's beans.
Okay.
So it's
nice.
Beans. It's yeah, basically beans made into like this orange stew. Again, orange goodness. Guys, it's orange goodness. You know what I'm saying? No, but you see, when it comes to Nigerian food, I love Nigerian food.
You see, I need to try stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's so many, like, there's literally 50 countries and the whole continent. There's so many different cuisines to try.
Yeah.
I kind of hate how, I guess maybe it's because of where we're raised, but I kind of hate how it's like, what's your favorite food? I was Chinese. Well, I agree. Like, it's never going to be an African cuisine. Like
Chinese bangs, though, man.
Chinese is great, but I just wish we had more options, or, like, more access to different cuisines. Okay, fair enough. Because we don't.
But where are you going to go and find a Congolese restaurant, though?
That's what I'm saying.
There's one in Tottenham.
Is that actually?
Yeah, yeah. It's really? Called Deluxe Manor.
How do you know what it is?
Have you been there? Literally, it's been all over social media. A lot of people have been trying it out.
Oh, really?
It's really good, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I do want to try them out, for sure.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But I think I'm more so wanting to try people's traditional foods, because you can easily go to an African restaurant and order like rice, chicken, like stuff that you know safe options.
Yeah, those risky options though. Like, despite me saying I want to try them, I know I could be a bit scared when it's coming into my mouth.
So would you rather go to a restaurant and try them, or have a friend try them, or have a friend sort of bring them to you?
I don't know, actually.
Because I think about it like this, I don't want to go to a restaurant and then end up wasting money on something I don't like. Mm-hmm. And two, I don't want to be in someone's actual house is serving me food. See, as like, Nigerian.
Yeah.
Like, that's awkward. That's what I'm saying. So that's why I think a lot of time people sort of veer away from sort of just trying anything new because it can be a bit.
So imagine like going to someone's house and you're trying their cuisine and you just don't like it.
And your shoes are off as well.
Oh, okay. You're going to have to eat that. You're going to have to swallow that thing. Yeah.
You have a whole plate. Like imagine like your friend came or your mum made like amala with like okra or something like that. And some people don't like okra because of the
yeah, I'm not a texture. Fan of okra.
Like, I love it. I can drink okra.
Really?
Like,
come on. I love it.
But I know it's it. Disgusting for some people.
You can drink it, girl.
It reminds some people of bogey. Now, someone's giving you this plate of bogey.
It's stringy. It's so stringy.
So, I remember my friend recently came to my house and I made eba for him.
I love eba
as well. So all eba is, it's cassava flour and hot water. Okay. And it's sort of made into like a...
Have you tried yellow eba before?
I have.
Yeah.
It's called eba ijebu.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. And that's where I'm from.
Oh, is that where you're from? Yeah. Oh, sick.
And I made some eba for him and efo. And I could tell he didn't like it. Aww. So he's Ugandan as well, right?
Okay.
But you know, because so you know, usually when you sort of eat it, you get like a good handful. He was like scraping it. Oh. I said, oh, bless him. But really and truly, like, shout out you, Spenny.
Oh, bless. Did he finish the plate or did you, were you like,
no,
it's okay?
No, I just looked at him and was like, bruv, like, it's okay. Like, you know, like, bless him for trying because... Yeah. I know he'll never have taste it again. So I'm glad that the first time he did try it was within my company, as opposed to him sort of going to a Nigerian restaurant and he ends up spending money that he doesn't like. Now he knows that eba is not for him.
So, that's good. Eba, I think, is my favorite, but I have to make sure that I cook it properly because I don't like when it's like sour or like bitter.
Did you make eba in uni?
No, I never did.
I did, you know. I got my housemate to try it as well.
As in like uni accommodation?
No, so I didn't live in a comm, so I had a house in uni.
Okay.
So and I'd make it all the time. So my mum would buy me like the flour, and I'd make it in front of my friends and stuff as well. And they proper liked it, you know. They proper found it fascinating.
Yeah.
Because obviously when you're whipping it,
yes.
When you're mixing it, shall I say?
Yeah.
It's able to turn into a solid form really quickly.
Yeah.
So I think they were fascinated by that, and obviously I'd have it with some wedu, some stew as well, some good meats, some meats.
How many meats do you have at a time?
So my mom, so I'm an only child. So where I'm an only child is my birthright to have like 4 or 5 pieces.
Wow!
No, we're so greedy. Like, why do you need 5 pieces of meat?
I only have two. So yesterday I had pound of jam, and I only had 1 chicken, 1 goat meat, and that was me.
Only.
Yeah, how many do you have?
I just have one.
You have one?
Unless
you're modest.
Unless they're like small pieces of like goat meat.
Yeah, okay, I've got a question for you. So you go to like an auntie's house, how many pieces of meat are you expecting?
Am I expecting?
Are you expecting?
Oh, that's expecting is a good way to phrase it. I'd say 2 max.
Yeah, but you yourself, you only have one.
Yeah, like I don't really
see greediness.
I don't really want more, but I don't mind a chicken and a beef, for example.
Yeah,
that's good balance.
It's goat meat. Oh,
yeah, something like that. Is it the same in Uganda? Or does it depend on the food?
Yeah, I think it depends on. We have this habit of overfeeding people.
Oh, see, yeah, yes.
So it'll be like more than enough. Like you'll get the plate and you'll be like, oh my gosh, like no, this is too much type of thing. Especially like, I don't know, in my culture, like they feed men as if like they're going to war or something.
The size of like
what is going on?
Why does man need so much food?
It's too much.
Don't like your dad eat big portions as well.
He eats quite, no, he, I think over time he's been eating less, but he like the size that my
too
dad
much,
would get.
Too much.
But do you know why massive. That is though? It's because that's your mum's way of showing that she loves him.
I know, but it's just so big.
No.
It's unhealthy. No, it's
you know,
much.
I grew up thinking that you had to eat till you couldn't move. My mum gave me so much same. Food. Like I thought, even recently, I'm still trying to unlearn, like you don't have to feel everything in your stomach before you stop eating.
As in,
I will eat to the maximum capacity.
So I have this really bad habit, So I used to have this bad habit of eating until I'm full.
Yeah.
I say until my belly's rock solid. And then recently I've only started to unlearn that as well.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this to my...
Like you'll spend a good half an hour just trying to get past that last handful, that last piece of chicken. It's like, you don't have to eat all of that.
No, but then there's this thing of you will finish what's on your plate. Do you know what I mean? Especially as kids.
It's because you put so much there.
You have to go at the end, go, oh, mum, look, I finished what's on my plate.
Oh, my gosh.
There's that mentality, you know?
My mum knows I finish everything on my plate. So that's why she can give me. I'm a good guest because I'm going to finish everything that's on my plate.
Yeah.
Because growing up, right, I remember I lived with my cousins for a little while. And they had this thing of making sure you finish everything that's on your plate because we don't waste food. Yeah. So as a Nigerian being brought up, the whole thing was we don't waste anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm very good at forcing myself to finish something that I don't like. That's why when it comes to restaurants again as well, if I don't, even if I don't like it, if I can, I'll still finish it because one, I pay for this, and two, we're not wasting food.
I hear that. But then I feel like when you're visiting, and you like, literally there's not even a grain of rice on your plate, I feel like that says a lot as well. Like you gotta leave a bit or something on the plate. Come on now, something to scrape in the bin. You got me.
Wait, hold on. So you're hosting a dinner party, right?
yeah
Do you want people to leave a bit of food on their plate to sort of show that they are content, or do you want them to sort of finish it in the sense where it's like, I finished it because I really enjoyed it?
Do you know what? If you're my guest, I don't mind. Like, if you finished everything, it's sweet. It's like you really enjoyed it. But for me, being a guest, it's like, have you never eaten before? Like, you got to leave a few grains.
If I go to your house and you give me rice, just out of modesty, I'm going to leave a bit of rice.
Yes.
I'm just going to, just a little bit of rice. Just come to on. Show that I'm, you know.
That you've ate before, you've eaten
it's
before.
It's funny you guys said that because I know there's been a time that I've eaten every single grain in someone's house.
Olé.
I've never done that before. I like food. I eat every grain. Sometimes, that's why sometimes I don't eat chicken wings in public because I would demolish.
Yeah, there's certain things you actually can't eat in public.
Nuggets. My nuggets is the thing.
I have to teach myself, like, leave some chicken on the bone. If I'm by myself, I'll demolish the whole thing. But
so when you go Nando's, what do you get?
I get 5 wings. And
she just said you don't like eating wings in public.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. I get 5 wings, but I don't finish them the way I would if I was eating them at home.
Okay. Because don't tell me you're one of those people that actually suck out the marriage. You know, no, I don't do that. Chew the bone
that's,
as if
that's too far. I don't do that.
It's like it's gone. The meat is gone, uncle.
It tastes weird as well.
Nah, some people like that. They like the marrow.
I'm not gonna lie. Have you had turkey marrow before?
Nah.
So my mom used to buy turkey, right? And turkey marrow is so good for you.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know if it's good for you. I just enjoy it. So I'm saying it's good for you.
Yeah.
Good for your heart.
I love it. It's so sweet. Or like, you know when you have cow foot, the bone. There's like the bottom of the bone. It's got all the like sucked up juices in there. And you just have to, there's no way you could just throw that.
But do you know what I enjoy? The cartilage. You know that when you're eating a...
Oh,
the cartilage. Oh, my God. Yes. It
do you ever call
so
it biscuit bone?
Biscuit bone. You're really Nigerian, boy.
It's so nice.
The crunchy white.
Hey.
I called it biscuit bone.
Biscuit bone.
They called it biscuit. It was so nice and crunchy.
Nah, it's the best. Oh.
Some vegans are reeling right now. Sorry.
I know, they're fuming.
But
Oh, sorry.
Is she vegan?
Yeah, she is.
How could I not know this?
Yeah, she's vegan.
Oh, wow.
So when you guys went out yesterday, what did she get?
No, oh, I wasn't there.
She was there. But she got, she did get vegan. Vegan stuff.
Yeah, wow.
One of my friends is vegan, right? So we went out for his birthday recently. And bear in mind, as long as I've known him, he's always been vegan. I saw him eating a chicken burger. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, no. Because I'm not even vegan. But I just felt like on behalf of the vegan community, you ain't going to do what you're just about to do. No way. And you enjoyed it, you know?
You know what? I shouldn't care anyway. It's not my business. But I don't really care when I see a vegan eating a chicken burger and that now and then. Because it's like, you still eat way less than the rest of us. And if it matters to you that animals shouldn't be cured and stuff like that. And I think just eating less in general was better than eating it so much. So if a vegan has a chicken burger once in like every 3 months, that's still better than what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
As in what I'm doing.
Yeah. Like she eats it way more.
Like I'm not a vegan. Like I eat meat basically every day, every other day. Now that I live by myself, I eat it way less because I'm not buying that every single time.
Fair enough.
But, someone that doesn't eat it all the time or is just straight up vegan or vegetarian, like a cheeky chicken nugget now and then, I think that's absolutely fine.
So what are you cooking for yourself these days then?
Oh, good question. I really couldn't tell you. Like, I don't know how I've gotten this far.
Because have you seen like a difference between what you used to cook for yourself during undergrad and what you're cooking for yourself now?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I cooked way more in undergrad.
Oh, really? Oh. I thought it'd be the opposite.
I don't know what I've been eating, guys. Like, I really couldn't. I'm still here somehow.
Okay, so like this. What did you have yesterday for dinner?
I didn't even have dinner yesterday. I went out. Okay, something for a Christmas meal. In the late afternoons, I had like a Christmas three course something.
Oh wow!
I had a sandwich for breakfast. I have noodles. I ate noodles a lot. I love Korean noodles.
Indomie.
No. I'm not Indomie anymore. I have
upgrade.
There's Korean. I love Indomie though, but I just don't like buying it as the packets, and I won't buy the box either.
Okay.
You know those Korean noodles they sold on campus?
Okay.
I eat those.
Really
nice. All right. I eat a lot of like oven chips. You guys know I love chips. Mm-hmm. I can eat chips every day.
Really?
And I love nuggets. Always pasta and stuff like that too. It's very simple.
A lot of carbs.
Yeah. But that's basically it. But in terms of a balanced diet, I don't have that anymore.
Because now I'm back at home, I just find myself making Nigerian food all the time, man.
Do you?
I proper love Nigerian food, man.
That's good.
Wow.
That's really good.
I want to learn how to make jollof though.
See, that's the one Nigerian food I can make
confidently.
Yeah,
okay. Really?
Yeah. Good. I can make jollof rice. I can make pounded jam and stuff. I can mix it. But as for the actual stews, I can make okra, I can make stew, but I can't make like efo and stuff like that. Like,
oh, no, that's it. I can't make
those complicated ones. Yeah, I can't do any of that.
What about you, Jess? What can you make?
Oh, wow. What a good question. Got me on the spot there. I'm back home now. So okay. I do help out a lot where I can. But my mom does this thing where like she cooks in bulk thing. Yeah. So it would just be like putting rice on or pasta on, but there's like bulk food anyway. But when I was at uni, I did cook. I cooked like weekly. So I'd like on Sunday evenings, I'll just like cook like chicken for the week.
Oh, that's probably
and then, yeah, make pasta or whatever on the side. But yeah, I feel like with me, like I have to be in the mood to cook. Like when I'm in the mood to cook, I will cook up a storm.
Oh, do you play
like,
music?
Like I'll
as well?
Play my music. Oh, yes. come on now. I'll be in that vibe. And I'm like, yeah, let me just whip it up. But when I'm not in the mood and I'm tired and I'm just like, oh my God, I just need something quick, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy.
Can we take a break? Do you guys take a break?
We're about to wrap it up. Before you go, we need to ask you this question that we're going to ask more of our guests now.
Okay.
It's quite a generic question, but when I see where you take it, what is something about you that you think people can relate to? Nothing that's go-to, like I like shoes.
But,
you know, something interesting.
Do you know what? The fact that I go for it just as much as the next person, you know?
Mm.
I feel a lot of the time, not that we're encouraged to put on this facade, but maybe social media doesn't help as well, but I feel there are lots of people who are sort of making idols of things and using that as sort of a mask to cover what it is that they're really going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes it's about knowing that whatever it is you're going through, it's okay. Mm. And that a lot of people just go through it just as much. That's why I encourage people to be generous a lot in whatever way they can, because just little acts of kindness or little acts of generosity just goes a long way. Even if you can't financially provide for someone, just knowing your heart's in that right place again as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what's important. So if there's anything that I can relate with anyone about, it's the fact that I just go through it like everyone else, and it's okay, you know?
Oh, that's lovely. I like that. It's true though, because like sometimes we think people aren't having the same experiences as us.
Yeah.
And it puts them in a better quote unquote category than what we're in, and we forget that being able to relate to people in that way is so important. So I guess that's why this is called So You Can Relate.
Yeah, because I was hospitalized recently.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, I was hospitalized recently as well, and I probably had a dark time when I was in hospital again as well. And it just made me realize that, you know what, someone before me and after me is probably going to go through this exact same feeling, maybe not in the exact same circumstances, but someone's going to go through it in a similar type of way, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why being generous to that person, or just being able to sort of lend a hand whenever you can, I think that's probably important.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's really important too. I hope you guys are blessed by what Kay just said and by today's episode. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. I enjoy it. You have to bring me back on.
Definitely going to have recurring guests, because this was a vibe. I had a good time.
Me too.
Thank you for coming. I have been Adefala.
It's been your girl Joyce.
And it's been your boy at Films in the Hood. Make sure you follow me on Instagram for films.
Go on, follow him.
I'm joking. But yeah, if you do it in film and stuff like that, just follow my page, Films in the Hood. And yeah, man, please don't be afraid to reach out and stuff as well. So yeah, my name's Kaidu.
Lovely. Thanks for listening, guys. Speak to you again next time.